Well, good. Okay, we're going to have a devotion here tonight from March 17th. I think my sound's coming through pretty well, so
yeah,
I think
we'll
be able to cover this. St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, and the reading is Mark 14. What we want to be thinking about is the idea of being understood. I think in a lot of ways, a lot of people are feeling these days that they're not understood. You know, you call the business up and you're basically treated like you're a number, right? Trying to think who I was calling just the other day. Oh, yeah. The doctor's office, and you just got the runaround, and you don't really feel like people understand you. But I just think that's a big struggle these days. It's just the ability of people to understand what you're going through. And this devotion and text reminds us of who Jesus is and that he really does understand us because he experienced everything, including the experience of death. And so we're going to read this, Mark chapter 14, 32 through 36. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what your will." That's Mark 14, 32 through 36. This is the devotion. We have a woman in our church who always says she is not afraid to die. If she is telling the truth, she is a rare person. The rest of us admit our fear. Death scares us. We worry that it will hurt. We think of it as an enemy. As the Bible says, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. How it comforts me then to see Jesus facing death with the same horror and sadness and distress. Not that I want that for him, but it makes me feel better about my own weakness. If the Son of God who gave himself for me had those feelings, then I don't need to be ashamed myself. I can lean my whole weight of fear upon him, knowing that he understands, that he will help, that he will strengthen me no matter what comes. As Isaiah said, he is truly a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he is the one who will ultimately lead us up out of death, back to the land of the living when he raises us from the dead. So there are some questions here, but I want to start off by just that question of being understood. The picture that we have of Jesus is someone who can relate to our weaknesses, even that scary feeling of death. And that doesn't sound like a big deal, but that is a huge difference between any Christianity, any other religion. Other religions, that their God can't relate to the humans that worship it because that God hasn't experienced any of those emotions or feelings or the feeling of death. But in Jesus, he's right there with us in all those feelings. So any thoughts on that as far as the idea of maybe not being understood? Do you think that's a concern maybe that you have or that your friends have?
I recently was writing a little book of scriptures that were about doubt and fear and different things like that. And it really helped me to go through and get the scriptures on where Jesus was rejected by people, betrayed by loved ones. Some of those things that I've experienced, the fact that he experienced them too makes me feel like, oh, thank you for understanding, and I just feel a closeness to him because I know that he experienced best friends rejecting and betraying, and he was despised by townspeople, and he went to his own, but his own did not receive him. And that it's very comforting to have a God that understands all that.
Yeah, that sums it up better than I could.
Yeah.
That was really good. I was just going to say, you know, that no matter how we ever feel in terms of others being able to understand us or feeling our pain or our feelings, I don't think any of it compares to what Jesus went through. And even, you know, 2,000 years later, we can still not, I don't think, fathom the depth of his sorrow when he took on all of our sorrows and all of our sins in a sort of a being that can't tolerate sin. I just feel like it's if there's no comparison, and that anything that I'm feeling is underwhelming compared to what he had to go through. So I think that's what I heard and what Diane said as well.
Yeah. You know, this reminds me of a story, you know, just last week. And boy, I know that many of you heard about and Diane, I need to connect with you because I know this was your neighbor, the death of CA and Mary Rath. I've shared that, but one story I haven't shared with the congregation. A few of you know this story, but one of the local pastors, Aaron Rutledge, the associate pastor at Living Faith, really a great guy. He, back in 2011, made a really tough decision, brought his family together to donate his kidney to this man, CA. And in speaking with him last week, he really felt awful that, you know, he gave his kidney, and then this whole thing happened. Yeah. He was really down, but he made a neat statement. He said, you know, it's given me a greater appreciation for Jesus. He gave his life, and, you know, basically the very people that put him to death, he was dying for their sins. And he wasn't trying to uplift himself. He was just saying he was getting a deeper picture of what Jesus went through. Very much so like what both Rick and Diane are saying. That really struck me, that Aaron saw it that way. Rather than a woe is me kind of thing, he saw it more of a, wow, look how much my Lord's done for me. So, all right, good. We're going to close with some prayer. Do you guys have any concerns? Any items to pray for?
Today we found out that Steve is going in for a pacemaker. So it's not, we don't have the date yet, but it's supposed, they're trying to work it in before the end of March. So we're glad to finally know what to do and have skilled and good people that are willing to do it for us.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yep. And that's been going on for a couple months where he's just not feeling so hot. Yeah. All right.
So, Pastor, I think you shared last week what was going on with the Fishers. Maybe you could update that again today.
Yeah, the Fishers are, Becky's in Detroit. She's taking care of her parents as they transition. They have had a tremendous turnaround. I think the story is her parents were diagnosed with COVID just maybe a week and a half ago. Both of the parents have underlying conditions that you just don't want to have with COVID. They were both hospitalized. But I think one other great story with this is not just the vaccines, but also that they're getting a better handle on how to treat this. And so they have turned around themselves, and they're actually leaving the hospital tomorrow. And so Becky left. She's going to be in, you know, Detroit for a week or two. Derek's left here with his two kids, little ones, Oren, Addie. Sally, I understand you're making a meal for him.
Yeah, I am.
That's great.
Happy to do it.
Yeah, that's super, super great. And apparently Derek says, oh, I don't want anyone to make the meal. I don't need that. But then Becky texts me privately and said, he needs help. He needs help. My husband's in trouble. So that was great. Yeah. So that's a praise the Lord. And then little Ava, we've been praying for her. She's 3 years old. She has tested positive too for COVID. But she has recovered as well. She had 108 degree temperature last week. It was very scary. She was in the NICU unit up in OHSU, and she has recovered as well. So that's another praise as well. Good. All right. Let's go ahead and close our time with prayer. And after I'm done, we'll share the Lord's Prayer together, or you can listen and hear it as well. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the high priest we have in Jesus. Lord, we thank you for that, just in the truth that he was able to relate with us in every way. He experienced betrayal, distrust, denial, and he did experience that weakness of facing death there in the Garden of Gethsemane, just as we read tonight. Lord, we thank you that he has related to us in every single way, and that takes off that weight on our shoulders that we have to muscle through our difficulties. Allow us to lean on him for his perfection, but also from his experience in facing these trials and difficulties. And Lord, always guide us, not to moments where we are woeing our life and really overcome with what we're experiencing, but help us to divert our attention to what Jesus has done for us and his suffering and death and that sacrifice he gave. Lord, tonight we give you thanks for already answered prayer just from this last weekend for little baby Ava and her recovery, and then also for the fishers, Dan and Luann, for their recovery. We pray for Becky as she's with them, and we pray for a sweet time and a full restoration of health. Lord, then we thank you for our ministry partners, for Philomath Community Services, for a partnership that's really spanned a long time. But we do uplift these concerns that were shared, the washer and dryer need, just the cleanup that needs to happen, the ask for volunteers. Lord, we pray that you would smooth out the channels to allow those needs to be met. Ultimately, that those that are experiencing hardship in life can be, that they can know that they're understood, that they're cared for in our community. We thank you for that. We thank you for Philomath Community Services. Lord, as we close out our night, we share the prayer your son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All right, just to kind of close things out and let you know where we are going to have one more Wednesday night, a week from tonight. We're going to be sharing some time with Mike Rinkin. He is the executive director of Compassion Ministries. Many of you have met him before. There is a tremendous need for people to just be friends with another person. And so he's going to share about something called friend to friend ministry. It's where you pretty much are matched with someone. It wouldn't necessarily be at our church, but maybe someone from the community, someone who is experiencing loneliness and just needs a connection with someone. And so all these topics we're you know, talking about, you hear about the need of just people in isolation and in need. And so it's neat that we're having our hands open and ears open to these needs. And then just another note about peace is we are back with in-person worship. We had a tremendous showing of people last Sunday. But always know, don't let that scare you away from not coming. We have overflow abilities in the fellowship hall. And so I'm just so thankful for that. And then all our services are online as well. You can look at those. Any other items to share? I think that does it. Thanks again, Rick, for guiding the discussion. Everybody else, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
God bless you.
Bye.